We have got a fun show coming up here on Wednesday for your edition of Locked On Vols. Tennessee and Florida will get going tonight inside Thompson Bowling Arena. We'll get a preview in segment one. Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators will join us in segment two. And it is Ward Wednesday, so we'll talk with our buddy Josh Ward here to conclude a Wednesday show. Buckle up, it'll be fun. This is Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Locked On Vols, your Wednesday, January the 26th edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane. I'll be taking you through today's show. Your host, at underscore Kaner on Twitter and at Locked On Vols. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every single day. All right, going to have a fun show ahead. Two guests will be joining the show. But first, after I remind you about Locked On Vols on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe and watch every single morning. It premieres at 9 a.m. I want to talk a little bit about Florida here in segment one. Brandon Olson in segment two, Josh Ward in segment three. But really, I just want to talk about rivalries. We often talk about it during football season because, you know, if you grew up in East Tennessee like me, if you grew up going to Tennessee football games with your father or, you know, your friends or whatever, you know, you hate Florida, you hate Alabama, you hate Georgia. We don't often talk about it that much in basketball. And I mean, I think we could all agree that Tennessee's biggest rival in basketball right now would obviously be Kentucky, because Kentucky's the cream of the crop in the SEC year in and year out. Got a nice little rivalry kind of going with Auburn here of late, because Auburn's been really, really good. They've had some success over Tennessee here lately. Of course, you got the Bruce Pearl factor in there. But it's always something when you play that in-state foe Vanderbilt, doesn't matter what sport it is. There's always something when you play Florida, doesn't matter what sport that is. And so I want to talk a little rivalry here in just a moment. But before we talk about the hatred, let's go ahead and preview a little bit of what this Florida Gators basketball team is. 12-7 on the season, 3-4 in SEC play. They started off really, really hot to begin the season. They won, you know, seven in a row, and then they lost two in a row to Oklahoma and then to Texas Southern all the way back on December the 6th. Rebounded for a non-conference win, then lost to Maryland, won a couple more. And then once you got into SEC play, a disastrous start to SEC play. The first game was postponed there late on December 29th, and we'll come back to that game because it's played a critical role in where Florida is right now. But didn't play that Ole Miss game in Oxford on December the 29th. Lost three straight to begin SEC play against Alabama, at Auburn, and then against LSU. Then rebounded, won three in a row on the road to South Carolina against Mississippi State and Vanderbilt. And then that matchup I mentioned to begin SEC play that was postponed due to COVID issues with Ole Miss on December 29th, that came back into play Monday as a makeup game when Florida went on the road and just got drilled by Ole Miss 70-54, just shot abysmal from three-point range in that game. And the makeup game is really throwing a wrench in all of this for Florida. So Florida played against Vanderbilt Saturday at 1 o'clock, won 61-42. Had the day off on Sunday to get the feet back under him, drink the fluids, and hydrate up. Was in action again 7 o'clock Monday night at Ole Miss. Got their brains beat in. We'll have Tuesday off, of course, and then later tonight traveling to Tennessee for a 6 o'clock start time. So Florida played two games in 3 days. They're going to play three games in 5 days, a stretch that you wouldn't wish on anybody. And again, you know, as far as the SEC, you got to get those games in, those league games in. I understand how it's critical, but gosh, that COVID cancellation back on December the 29th is really killing Florida right now. But as Tennessee fans, I'm sure you don't really care, and that's fine. But Florida will be limping into this basketball game, and it's not even funny. Again, you could tell that they were tired on Monday night at Ole Miss, just couldn't find the bottom of the net, didn't have the strength a lot with all those three balls. And hey, where have we seen the three-ball struggles? Oh yeah, Tennessee's done that in recent weeks as well. So that's where Florida is kind of coming into the matchup. Again, 12-7 on the season, 3-4 in SEC play. The big noteworthy thing, and we'll talk with Brandon here in segment two and get a little bit more of the details on it. Colin Castleton likely won't be available for this game. Missed the last couple of games Mike White called it a significant injury. It's an injury to his shoulder, and he's without a doubt their best player. Power forward started 16 games this year, averaging a team high 15 points and almost 10 rebounds. So nearly averaging a double-double is Colin Castleton. So he is a big-time player. If he's not available, that's just going to bode even better for the University of Tennessee in this one. So we'll get a little bit about his prognosis with Brandon here in just a moment. But that's a big-time thing. Tyree Appleby, of course, the point guard, averaging 9 points a game. He's assisting on, 70 on the season, easily a team high. So, that's just under about, 8 or 9 a game. You've got Maureen Jones, who's averaging 8 points a game. Anthony Durie is averaging 9 points a game. But really outside of Colin Castleton, of course, you have Fleming Jr. as well, who's averaging 10 points and about 7 rebounds a game, or about 4 rebounds a game. So that's kind of the main stat getters for Florida. A lot of these names we've heard for seasons upon seasons upon seasons. So that's kind of the rundown here for Florida coming into this game. You look at the all-time series with Florida for Tennessee, 79 wins to 58 losses. Tennessee's won 2 straight dating back to last season. If you remember the first matchup with Florida last year, Tennessee just got drilled, 75 to 49 the final. That was back in January, but then Tennessee rebounded early in March, a 65-54 win in Knoxville, and then less than a week later, 5 days later, Tennessee took on Florida in the SEC tournament on my birthday, March the 12th, and won 78-66. So let's transition a little bit into the rivalry, shall we? 79-58 all-time record versus Florida for Tennessee. The Volunteers have won 2 straight. They have won, the longest losing streak was 9 way back when, back in the 1970s. The longest losing streak was at 14 games back in the 1990s. Tennessee's really good against Florida at home, a 48-17 record, and are 7-3 in their last 10 matchups. So let's go back to last season's games against Florida. Played them 3 times, lost back in January, one in Knoxville on the 7th of March, and then that was the game where Omar Payne did a little elbow number to John Fulkerson, broke several bones in his face, fractured his face, broke his nose, of course, and, that was a dirty, dirty play. We talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast, talked about how Greg Sankey didn't do anything to address the situation, at least publicly. Good on Mike White, actually set Omar Payne, suspended him for a game. I thought that was really, really good. But Tennessee turned around and played Florida 5 days later. And so the heat, the passion in that basketball game, and certainly from the fan base, it couldn't even be measured. But for Florida, it's Florida, right? As I've grown older and I've gotten into the media and I've started covering different teams and now covering the University of Tennessee, I take an unbiased approach. I really pride myself in that. You guys know I'm very critical at times when I think players, coaches, teams deserve to be critical, but I also try to be equally as praiseworthy. Take my my synopsis and my analysis of Jeremy Banks into consideration. I've been so down on him at points and times, but here lately I've been high on him because he deserves it, right? But when it comes down to it, that being said, Florida's Florida. If you would ask me what Tennessee's biggest rivalry is, it's Florida. I think it depends on the age and the demographic as well, because if you get to the older demographics, I think they would say Alabama. Some middle-aged guys would say Georgia. For me, it's always Florida. And football, it's just not been a rivalry whatsoever the past, 15 years. It just really hasn't. But in basketball, that's a different story. Again, Tennessee 7-3 in the last 10 matchups and looking to make it 8-2 in the last 10 and looking to make it 3 wins in a row. So we'll get the status on a guy that's doubtful in Colin Castleton, the best player for Florida coming into this basketball game. We'll get more information on the Florida Gator basketball team with Brandon Olson coming up here in segment 2 of Locked On Gators to preview a rivalry game for Tennessee later tonight at 6:00 Eastern time. All right, first let's talk about GetUpside, an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It is GetUpside. My listeners are earning cash back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code SCORE for 25 cents per gallon on or more on your first fill-up. Okay, don't pay full price of the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Use that promo code SCORE for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a year in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time using your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon, and a couple of other brands as well. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code SCORE to get 25 cents per gallon or cash or more cash back on your first tank. That's promo code SCORE for GetUpside. And of course, it's Built Bar. New year, sometimes that means new me, New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolutions because it tastes so good, you're going to want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky, waxy, or sometimes taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy. It just gets so boring at times, but there's nothing boring about Built Bars because it's covered in 100% chocolate. Plus, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a normal candy bar that sits somewhere around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Where do you find all this stuff? Plus the amazing flavors like peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, and mint brownie. It's all at Built.com. Use that promo code LOCK15 and you're going to get 15% off your order. That's at Built.com. Again, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. It's all at Built.com. All right, welcome back into Locked On Vols, segment number 2 of a Wednesday show. Big game tonight for Tennessee as the Volunteers are set to play host to the Florida Gators. And on to break down the Florida Gators, our guy from Locked On Gators, Brandon Olson, a little fan favorite of the Locked On Vols listening audience. Brandon, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that I'm a favorite for your audience because I know I'm not a favorite for mine. I don't know that much.
Hey, tell me a little bit about what Florida's going through right now. It seems a bit extreme, but you know, with COVID, you got to make do, right? So the December 29th matchup at Ole Miss was postponed due to COVID. I believe it was COVID issues within the Florida program. Had to reschedule that to Monday night. So that means Florida played Vanderbilt on Saturday. Florida played at Ole Miss on Monday. And now tonight, Florida will be inside Thomas and Mullen Arena taking on Tennessee. That's 3 games in 5 days. Sounds like a disaster scenario for the Florida Gators.
Yeah, it's really, I don't want to be grim, but it's really bad right now because This is already a Florida Gators team where a lot of guys play. You know, we get 9-10 guys on. I know a lot of college teams use like eight man rotation. Florida has like 9-10 guys that play when they're fully healthy, and it's already not good. They play, but they're not very good. And then now you've got the best player on the team, Colin Castleton, is out with a shoulder injury that we're just told is significant. We still don't have much detail on. It's just significant, serious shoulder injury. We don't know if he'll be back, when he'll be back. And then now you've got guys getting exhausted from playing 3 games in 5 days. You could tell on Monday night where it was, you know, 2 games in 3 days, they were tired. You could tell that. And they're playing tired. They're playing poorly. They're getting in foul trouble, especially the big men now where it's like Colin Castleton's not there. He gets in foul trouble as it is. So big men have to rotate in often. But with Colin Kelsen out, now we got Jatobo getting in foul trouble. DeRuji's got to take on more of a kind of rim protector role. And he's not awful at it, but he's not Colin Castleton, who's at the time of the injury, second in the SEC in blocks. So it's bad where these guys are exhausted. They're already not great. And you're forced to play more depth than usual. It's a tough time to be a Florida Gator fan.
Yeah, it sounds like it, especially. I mean, I couldn't imagine playing 3 games in 5 days. Just the toll on your legs. I mean, I bet there's going to be some cramping tonight. You could tell Florida was, you know, kind of lost a step on Monday night, especially in that second half, you know, playing Ole Miss because they just played on Saturday. So it'll be the same case tonight. You kind of went into it a little bit there. Kind of go into a little bit more detail with, you know, Colin Castleton. You're right. The only thing I could find on him was Mike White being quoted saying it's a significant shoulder injury. How much has his absence disrupted the flow, the pace of what Florida wants to do offensively? Because clearly, of course, he's their best player.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird with the offense because the offense hasn't necessarily lost steps since he's left. It's just, it's changed, and I'll give Mike White credit here where it's like he's tried to get more perimeter players on the court, kind of because he has to. There's not a ton of depth at big men that can actually play and contribute. You got Jatobo stepping up, played one of the best games of his career on Monday night. Wasn't amazing, but you're looking at a backup center that had to step into a starting role, and he's played well. And offensively, you know, they've tried to shoot more threes. They've tried to get things going more. But this is a team that we're so far into the season, and they're still trying to figure out basic things about their about themselves. You know, we're still changing the starting five constantly because the guys turning the ball over, just deciding to play ISO ball and hero ball, and it's like, dude, you're not that guy. Like you're a power forward. Stop trying to take people off the dribble like that. And just taking horrible threes, where this is a team where you're still trying to figure things out. And the one solid thing you had was Colin Castleton, who I still firmly believe is one of the best post scorers in college basketball. I think he kind of forces things at times due to, I mean, the lack of offensive talent around him. But he's one of the best post players in basketball, and you don't have that now. You know, Jason Jatobo has got his little hook shot he tries, but that is very inconsistent. He's got his little up and under that he goes for, but it's hard to watch a team and go, you know, you don't have your best offensive player for Lord knows how long, because again, it's just significant. Yep. And Colin Castleton, he meant a lot to this team because he would draw double teams in the post and open things up. And I've been critical of Colin Castleton, where when you get doubled, you got to pass the ball out to the open man. But you know, he drew those doubles and he opened people up where they could swing the ball and get more threes out of it. And it's just rough watching this offense without him.
Looking forward right now, averaging 71 points per game, shooting at 42%. From three, it's 29%. Of course, that, you know, probably lost a couple of you know, percentages there from the other night. When it, what was it at Ole Miss? 4 of 29 from three.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I'm saying that. Hey, I watch Tennessee basketball, so I've seen a lot of that this year. So it's a little frustrating for sure. But last thing for you, man, a great start to the season. And then when you get an SEC play, it's just disastrous. Much like Tennessee's schedule, beginning an SEC play. You know, you had Florida playing against, you know, Alabama, Auburn, LSU. Those are three of the, you know, best teams in the SEC. And then you rebounded and Florida, you know, picked up three wins against South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. I understand the competition's not nearly about what it was, but what maybe changed in terms of what Florida's been doing the first three games of SEC play compared to the last three? And then, of course, Monday night's loss to Ole Miss.
I mean, a lot of it was just, I'll give Mike White credit. Like he made adjustments that were necessary. You look at the first few games where it was Myron Jones shooting 2 for 14 from three, or 2 for 14 from the field, and 1 for 11 from three, and Tyree Appleby turning the ball over incessantly, where it's like, those guys are both our best point guards, but neither of them are good in the sense of, they'll shoot you in the foot. Like, they might be great. Tyree Appleby has been one of the most clutch players in basketball, but outside of the final 3 minutes of the game, he's sucked a lot of the times. Like, you look at the Ohio State game, nailing threes. You look at the Maryland game, nailing threes, and he's done great things, but he's just been so wildly inconsistent where, you know, Mike White, he sat Myron Jones. He sat Tyree Appleby. He started playing Kawasi Reeves, a freshman, a lot more. And it's like, you watch Kawasi Reeves and he's going to be streaky. He's a true freshman playing here. He's going to be streaky, but you could tell that kid's going to be in the NBA at some point, whether it's this year, next year, whatever it is, he's going to be in the NBA at some point. And he started playing well. He's played phenomenal basketball. He's made some insane plays, clutching games, saving the ball from going out of bounds and chucking it across the court to his own teammate and letting them run the clock out, letting them get fouled, doing a little bit, and hitting clutch free throws at that, where I give Mike White credit for the adjustments. But the thing that I've always said about him at this point is, it's year seven. If the roster isn't good enough for you, that's your fault, because the roster is your roster. And if the roster is good enough, then you're not coaching it well enough for the team to win games. So it's Mike White's been Mike White giveth, Mike White taketh away at this point, and it's very frustrating.
All right, last thing, man, you look at the schedule remaining. You got the, of course, Tennessee tonight for Florida. You got the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Tennessee draws Texas. You got Florida drawing Oklahoma State. But then you got two games against Kentucky. You got another game against Ole Miss on the schedule. Auburn is on the schedule. Arkansas is on the schedule. Some pretty challenging games left for Florida on this schedule. 12-7, 3-4 in the SEC. Kind of what's your, and it's kind of hard to answer this right now because you don't know how long Castleton's going to be out for. What's your projections for this Florida basketball team? I mean, is this a tournament team? Is this a team that's going to need to win the SEC tournament? Kind of what do you forecast for this team down the stretch here, back half of SEC schedule?
I can tell you they're not winning the SEC tournament. I can tell you that much. I think they could win some games as a team that, again, like you said, it's hard to predict these things without Colin Castleton, without even knowing when he'll be back is the most frustrating thing, because he got hurt a week ago yesterday, and we still don't know what the injury is. Like, they haven't said anything. And I get it, keeping the cards close to your chest. I get that. But at some point, you've got to let people know when Colin Castleton will be back, if he'll be back. And, I mean, if he comes back, I'm pretty confident this team can bounce back a bit. But I still don't think this is a great team. I think this is a team that's, like, I could see us making March Madness tournament, but not going very far with it. It's just one of those teams where if things continue to go the way they've gone this year, it's not super promising.
As Brandon Olson, the Locked On Gators, at the time of this recording, there's not been a line set for Tennessee and Florida. Of course, it'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off later tonight inside Thompson Bowling Arena. You can catch it on ESPN2. Brandon, thanks so much, man. And what do you got coming up on today's show for Locked On Gators? Obviously, I would assume previewing a lot of Tennessee Vols, right?
Oh, yeah, we're talking about that. I mean, you're going to be there, Eric. You know that. So we're going to have you talking about this game. We're talking about the linebacker situation because everyone's leaving. Everyone's coming in. It's wild. And then mailbag time.
Awesome. Good stuff. Brandon, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Eric.
It's Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators. Does a fantastic job over there. If you want more preview for tonight's game from a Gators perspective, check out Locked On Gators with Brandon Olson. All right, we will come back. We'll have Josh Ward to finish off a Ward Wednesday episode of Locked On Vols. But first, Bet Online. I'd like to wish you a happy new year of betting as we continue our march throughout the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all your best sports wagering action for the 2022 calendar year. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website, so go ahead and sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus in doing so on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2022 year. Bet online, it is the fastest, it is the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, it is where the game starts. All right, we got a final segment left here of a Wednesday Locked On Vols. And as we just spoke on with Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators, Tennessee, a big basketball game coming up later this evening, but it is still Ward Wednesday. So I want to bring on our good friend, Josh Ward, for a little Ward Wednesday action. Josh, how you doing today, man?
Hey, doing great. Great to be on with you.
Now, Tennessee basketball, a much-needed win and, really a surprise if you want to look at it from one perspective. Win over the weekend against number 13 LSU. It's propelled Tennessee back up to number 18 in the country. I think that win was needed in so many different ways, from a confidence standpoint, from a standing standpoint, but most importantly, you know, getting a win at home against a quality team in LSU.
It was a good win. It's something that helps the resume. It's also something that Tennessee just kind of had to get, as you're talking about. If Tennessee had lost at home to LSU, which was not at full strength, there would have been an immediate, okay, where do we go from here conversation. And like I've said the last couple of weeks, there'd be a long way to go. But Tennessee needed to get a quality win. Winning at Vanderbilt was important, but it's not a quality win in terms of the resume. Beating LSU, which had made Tennessee look not so good a couple of weeks earlier, was really important. So now it's what can Tennessee do from here? You have a manageable schedule, some tough games, some challenging opponents, but not like some of those games that Tennessee played in the first two or three weeks of the SEC schedule at Bama, at LSU, at Kentucky. Manageable games at home. Stepping outside conference play against Texas will be good for the resume as well in terms of the opportunity. But this is where Tennessee, I think, needs to kind of find its groove as it heads into the month of February, which is the real buildup to what you want to do at the end of the season.
Yeah, something we kind of spoke on the last couple of times we've met, really in SEC play, the play of Uroš Plavšić, the emergence of Uroš. And I mean, how sustainable is this, Josh? There's obviously still some limitations there with Uroš, but he's still Tennessee's most consistent front court player right now. I don't think you can bank on getting 12 points, 6 or 7 rebounds per game, but that's what he's been giving you the last 2 or 3 ball games. He's one of Tennessee's most important players right now, while John Fulkerson continues to round back into form, and Olivier Cumwalt just kind of, you know, hit or miss here lately.
Yeah, Plavsic just played a much bigger role than I would have anticipated at the beginning of the season. And part of it is because of the need, because guys that we spent a lot of the offseason and in early part of non-conference play talking about have not stepped up consistently enough for Tennessee. So they've looked elsewhere, and that's for production on the floor, and that's for emotional leadership. And Uroš has provided that as well. And a couple of weeks ago, when Rick Barnes was talking about guys who have stepped up and talked more, Uroš and Jemai Meshack were the first two names he mentioned, at least when he was asked on that occasion. And when I heard that from Rick Barnes, I thought, okay, those are two guys that aren't playing that much. Uroš playing more, I think, also allows teammates to look at what he's doing, listen to what he's saying, and get behind him a little bit more. I don't think anything changes in the conversation on the court. You need Kennedy Chandler, Santiago Vescovi, Josiah and Jordan James, and I would still say at some point the season, John Fulkerson to help lead the way. But you're getting more quality minutes than I would have expected out of Plavsic, and he deserves all kinds of credits against better competition, especially in the front court. Let's see. When Auburn comes to town and you're facing a potential number one pick in Jabari Smith, you know, that becomes a little more challenging, and some of those other players that we've talked about will need to step up on that occasion. But all credit to Uroš for what he's provided, because it's been needed.
A talking point this week, Josh, has been the struggles for Kennedy Chandler in SEC play, specifically at the free throw line, shooting just about 60% from the charity stripe during SEC play. Now, granted, this is not a great free throw shooting team, is Tennessee, but what is Kennedy Chandler, you know, I know you were quite the basketball player back in your Church League days. What does Kennedy Chandler, still projected first round pick in this upcoming NBA draft, what's he kind of need to do to find his comfort zone and you know, step up for Tennessee and be the guy that they thought he would be this year?
Yeah, and Eric, it sounds like you're joking, but the audience should know that I have a Church League 3-point contest title to my basketball resume. So I want that on the record, too. I've been surprised by the team struggles at the free throw line and Kennedy Chandler at times, and he's not been a consistently strong outside shooter for Tennessee, which defenses pay attention to. I think it's pretty clear coaches looked at the tape of the Colorado game and said, okay, he's going to try to get the basket. We have to do what we can to limit that. And he's still going to get his because he's such a talented player, and he's going to make several plays in the game. On both ends of the floor, I think Kennedy can make some game-changing defensive plays that set up the offense. But they need, especially at tournament time, their point guard to be able to get to the free throw line and knock down those free throws. If Tennessee struggles at the line like it has in close tournament games against quality teams, it will end their season. That's how it will go. So they need to be better there. That's going to start with Kennedy Chandler. The guy I trust the most, especially late in games at the free throw line, would be Vescovi. He's just been such a good player for Tennessee, and you want to talk about consistency. He's provided it behind the three-point line. He's the one guy where green light, do what you want to, I would say. But Chandler is, you know, I know he's a freshman. We're halfway through the season, whatever we are. And at this point, you would expect him to do more. I'm in the same boat. I think he'll be better as the season goes along, but the free throw line concern is a real one, and it needs to improve before the end of the year.
Josh, last thing here on the basketball front, kind of a two-part question. You got Florida tonight. You have Texas and the Big 12 SEC Challenge coming up on Saturday in Austin. Tennessee more likely to go 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2. And then tell us a little bit about Florida, a team that came in coming into the contest 3-4 in SEC play. They lost 3 in a row to begin SEC play, then won 3, and then, of course, a loss Monday night on the road at Ole Miss, playing a game on Saturday, on Monday, and again here on Wednesday, a tough stretch here for the Gators.
Yeah, Florida is a team that got off to a really good start, and I thought, okay, maybe this team will be better than expected, and it has not played out that way since then. This quick turnaround of games for Florida is a huge advantage, I think, for Tennessee, especially being at home. And the question of Colin Castleton, his status, will be one to pay attention to, because not having him against Ole Miss was probably a big factor in Ole Miss being able to get that win. And Ole Miss is not an incredibly impressive team, capable of playing well. It did in Knoxville, almost won. But this is one that I think Tennessee just has to get. I'd say the most likely scenario is 1-1. I think that's most likely, but I would say 2-0 is more likely than 0-2. I'd be really surprised if Tennessee loses to Florida. It could happen. I like the Vols at home to take care of business against to me, a clearly inferior team. Then you go on the road. Let's see. But you know, it's year one with their new coaching staff at Texas. That'll be a game that gets a lot of attention with Rick Barnes going back there. So I definitely think 2-0 is more likely than 0-2. 1-1, if you just play the probability, is what would stand out. But if I had to choose a side, I'd say 2-0 for Tennessee. If that happens, then I think the momentum could really build, because the Vols have a good resume right now for the NCAA tournament. Yeah. If you can win on the road against Texas and beat Florida, take care of business in that game, it could really bolster what Tennessee's already put together.
So it's basketball season right now, of course, but this is a football school, a football market. Early enrollees are now here on campus beginning school for the second half of the semester, beginning winter workouts, getting prepared for spring practice here in a couple of weeks. 18 early enrollees. Now, a couple of those include a couple of walk-ons like Navy Shuler, the quarterback position. One includes a transfer like Gerald Mincy from Florida. But a good number of prospects from this signing class are here arriving on campus and beginning their Tennessee careers. Give me one guy you're really looking forward to seeing kind of following during this course of the spring semester into spring practice and kind of seeing how he looks out there on the field that Tennessee just signed.
Well, am I allowed to choose Taven Jackson? Because at that position, depth is already a question next year. What exactly do you look like, especially after the spring? But I think his potential is really high. And I love the fact that he's not expected to come in and be the guy right away. But the future of the program could be largely determined by how Taven Jackson plays. Now, I know a qualifier to that could be, well, because of the transfer market, you can always adjust very quickly to what you have and what you will have. Look at this past year, Hendon Hooker comes in. But I would say just Jackson, and then I would add to the skill position, because Squirrel White, there's a lot of excitement about what he could do quickly within the offense. And Caleb Webb, wide receiver, who was a later addition to the class before the early signing period. So I would put those together in a combination, because there's rightfully a lot of excitement about what Tennessee was able to do at receiver, Justin Williams. So the skill position, as I now just expand my answer, would probably be what you watch first, because their talent in this offense could really explode. Maybe not immediately, but you know, somebody like Williams, there will be a chance for him to help immediately at running back.
Josh Ward, never great at following the directions, but you can follow him on Twitter at Josh_Ward and catch him on Sports 180, 99.1 The Sports Animal every weekday, noon to 3. What's coming up on the show this week, Josh?
Yeah, it's a mix of where we are in the football offseason, transfer portal watch, but basketball, a lot more basketball with Ron Slay every Tuesday. If you want to go back and check that out, we have a full hour with the Tennessee basketball legend from 1 until 2 o'clock on Tuesday. So that's available where you podcast the show, Apple Podcast and the WNML app.
Church League three-point shootout champion Josh Ward. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk again next Wednesday.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, he is Josh Ward. Go ahead and give him a follow and follow his work. Does a fantastic job. And that's going to do it here for today. Tennessee basketball big game against Florida coming up tonight. And, of course, we'll break it all down on a Thursday Locked On Vols. Big thanks to Josh Ward for stopping by for Wednesday. Big thanks to Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators. If you want more preview of this Gators basketball team before tonight, check out Locked On Gators. Make that your second listen. But as always, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. If you haven't already, search it on YouTube, Locked On Vols. Subscribe and watch the show. It premieres every single morning at 9 a.m. That is Locked On Vols on YouTube. Of course, that premieres at 9 a.m. every single morning. Go back and watch it on demand. Audio portions of this podcast still available wherever you get your podcast in the overnight hours. Guys, thanks so much. Really, really do appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we will talk again tomorrow.